I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. Today we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, so I want to encourage you to take your Bibles, let's turn together, and we're looking at verses 12 through 15. Again, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. Let's read it together. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell? The labor of the fool, the foolish, wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. When we come to this passage in front of us, we're going to see a contrast between wisdom and folly. And basically, he's going to start with the contrast, and then he's going to give a description. So let me give you a simple summary statement, and then look at some of those details. This section draws a distinct contrast between wisdom and folly, then describes several specific qualities connected to foolishness. And so let's look at them one by one. First of all, the contrast. He talks specifically about the end result of the speech of a person who's foolish. In verse 12, he says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious." And when he talks about them being gracious, he's emphasizing the fact that that graciousness is going to lead to restoration and basically a relationship that's broken being restored and being mended. Then he says, "But the lips of the fool will swallow up himself." So he's talking about the self-destructive nature of a person's folly and how they use their speech the wrong way. So when he draws this contrast, he's basically saying grace produces what? Restoration. Folly produces what? Destruction. Self-destruction, destruction of relationships. And so Solomon begins with the contrast. Then he's going to give a description of foolishness. The first description that he gives is that the fool's words are destructive from the beginning until the end. In verse 13, he says, "The beginning of the words of the mouth is foolishness. The end of his talk is mischievous madness." Now, I think it's very interesting that he's not so much focusing on what a fool does as much as what a fool says. Now, it's not that his ways and what he does are not a big deal. It's not what he's saying. But he's focusing on the person's words because that's the most pronounced thing that you'll see about a person who's foolish. He says not just what they start saying, but it's also where they finish. In fact, I'll give you this illustration. Let's say that there's a time that you say something that you know isn't good, but you have the awareness to recognize that it wasn't good, and what do? You go to try to repair it. You try to resolve the issue. You try to make a clarification. Well, the point is that a person who's foolish, even though they said something foolish, they don't have the ability or the recognition to recognize, hey, I need to resolve this issue. I need to go back and I need to restate that. I need to clarify. I need to try to resolve the conflict. That's basically what he's saying. A foolish person's lips begin and end in folly. The second description that he gives is that fools can't be trusted. In verse 14, he says, "A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him?" Now, this is a really interesting verse. The first thing he's going to say is this: people who are foolish talk a lot. What he's saying is that they tell you they're going to do things. They talk about their plans. They talk about exciting things that they're going to do. They talk incessantly, but they don't follow through with the things that they're saying. The things that they're saying are not really trustworthy. You can't actually put much confidence in them. And so the second thing he mentions is that you don't know what they're actually going to do. So even though the person says a lot, they don't follow through. And so you can't put confidence in that. But the third thing that he states is very important. He says you can't confront this person. He says it like this. He says, "What shall be after him? Who can tell him?" In other words, the fact that this person's words cannot be trusted is going to stay that way because you don't have the ability to say, "Hey, you said this, you didn't follow through with this, so can I have confidence in you or not?" You don't have the ability to do that because the person is not going to listen to what you have to say. And so when he talks about folly, the second description is going to emphasize the fact that fools speak a lot, cannot be trusted, and they can't be confronted when they can't be trusted. He then gives a third description that I'm going to mention today. And that said, a fool's labors are directionless and wearying. Directionless and wearying. In verse 15, he puts it like this. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Now the question is, who is he saying it wearies? Does it weary the person who's laboring? Does it weary the people that are dealing with the person who's foolish? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know if he's emphasizing the fact that the foolish person is wearied by his labors, or if the people around him are wearied by his labors, or if it's a combination. And I would kind of lean toward it being a combination. It's probably the fact that the fool is wearied by his labors because they're endless, they're meaningless, they don't seem to have purpose, they're not productive. But he also emphasizes a second thing about this. He does not know to go into the city. He's basically saying he doesn't have the sense to make his labors productive. He doesn't have the sense to go to a place where his labors can actually accomplish something. And so the fool not only is wearied by his labors, but he doesn't have the awareness to recognize how to change that issue and to actually make their labors productive. So he gives three simple descriptions in his contrast between the fool and the wise. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. When you think about your words and you think about your labors, would there be ways in the way that you speak and ways in the way that you do things that would fall into this category? I think it's very important for us to be wary of areas where this folly resides in our hearts. And by the way, it might not be that every single aspect of what we do falls into this category. It may be that there are certain areas where we have blind spots. In other words, that particular area is an area that I don't seem to be aware of the fact that I am following in a path of folly. I think it's very important for us to stop and to be self-reflective as we think about this. The second thing I want to say practically is this. We need to seek God's wisdom so that we can avoid the terrible pitfalls that Solomon's describing in this passage. You might ask, well, how do we get God's wisdom? How can we escape the terrible follies that follow those who have foolish ways? Foolish ways in their speech and foolish ways in their interaction with other people. Well, here's the answer in Proverbs chapter 2. And I'm going to read a couple of verses just to describe how we get wisdom. This is what Solomon writes to his children. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints." If we want wisdom, we need to recognize something. Wisdom doesn't start in our own hearts. Wisdom is something that has to be brought into us from outside of us. And Solomon's emphasizing the fact that as a father who has experience in life, who's walked with God, who's observed a lot of things, there's a lot of wisdom that he has that he can impart to his children. But he doesn't have the ability to force it into them. They have to actually want it. They have to actually seek for it. They have to actually bow down their ear to that instruction and say, "I need this." They have to value it and treasure it. And so Solomon's reminding us in Proverbs chapter 2 that if we want to get wisdom, we have to go to the right places to get it. We have to interact with people who have experience in life, who've walked with God, who have seen things that we haven't seen, and who've actually been able to glean God's wisdom from that. We have to listen. We have to want it. We have to ask. We have to listen. And so he starts with that. The second thing that I'm going to notice, though, in what he says, is that this wisdom is going to lead to a right view of God. He says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." In other words, as we seek for wisdom And as we get a degree of wisdom, what it does is it gives us a right view of self and God. And as we have the right view of self, we're going to have an awe and a respect and a reverence for God. And that puts us in a position to let him pour into our hearts the wisdom that he desires to pour into our hearts. And in the end result, he tells us this: it's out of the Lord's mouth that knowledge comes. And you ask, well, where do we see God's words coming from his mouth? And the answer is it's in the scriptures. We will be wise people if we are people of this book. If we're people who dig into the scriptures, devour the scriptures, treasure the scriptures, love the scriptures, listen to people who are knowledgeable in the scriptures and skillful in the application of scripture, that's when we'll be in the position to get wisdom. And so my challenge to each of us this morning is that we need to be a people who don't walk in folly, but walk in wisdom, because we have a heart to get it. And part of that heart to get it involves a passion, it involves knowing where to go, and it involves a willingness to say, hey, I need wisdom from outside of me, and I want God to pour his wisdom into my heart. I hope that's what you will do this morning. I hope that you'll spend time in God's word. I hope that you'll take time to reflect on God's ways and God's purposes and how he works in the world. And if you will do that, I'm confident that he will pour his wisdom into your heart. If this has been a challenge to you this morning, I hope you'll share that. And Lord willing, tomorrow we'll continue in our study in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be challenged about this issue of wisdom. Help us to be a people who don't think and act and speak in a way that's foolish, but help us to be people who are guided by principle, whose hearts are filled with the wisdom and knowledge of God, and whose lives are distinguished by walking in godly wisdom. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Hope you have a wonderful day, and it's been good to see you today. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Bye now.